Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yes, and good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. I can see there's a lot of you out there in various places on this planet. Perhaps there are people listening from other places. Who knows? That would be great. I wonder if they have internet on Alpha Centauri. It's probably better than the one I've got. hopefully the station will remain afloat this evening. We've had a lot of internet issues. A lot of people have been having internet issues, so if the stream goes down, try some of the others. We've got Studio A, we've got Studio B, we've got Ever Beyond Radio, plenty of other places you can go to pick up the stream if suddenly you lose audio. Hopefully that won't happen. We'll keep everything running nice and smoothly. You never know. We normally get a bit of issue at the beginning when everybody kind of cramming to get in, but I hope some people have staggered their way in, staggered into the thing, at a slightly different time so it doesn't overstress the servers. So, having said all that, good afternoon, Simon. How are you?
Hello, JP. Staggered their way in sounds like a bar.
I know. It didn't sound right. It just didn't quite come out. People need to stagger the times that they come in, so don't come in exactly at 7. If thousands of people do that, then our little brain computer server just falls over. It just can't cope. So that's why we get the issues at the beginning of the show. So if people can come like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a random time early, yeah, that would be great. Anyway, Simon Parkes, how are you, my friend? I've had a bit of a stomach issue today, so I'm kind of there on the wobbly. How are you doing?
Well, okay, it's really lovely to, you know, be back in front of the radio with all our listeners. Now, my voice is going to sound different tonight, and for the very small group of anti-human people who will say, "Oh, Simon Parkes' voice is different. He's obviously got the devil in him." No, I've actually got a cold, and I want to tell you that Mr. Wynne Keach gave me his cold. So thank you very much indeed, Wynne. So I will sound a bit... Okay, that was supposed to be humour. I'm going to sound very, very, whatever. You just have to bear with me, I'm afraid.
Simon, you sound perfect. There's very little, just a slight head tone, but you sound fine, mate. Sound absolutely fine.
My soul is absolutely perfect. Thank goodness, it's fine. It's the physical body that's got the virus. And often when people are asked, you know, how are you, they'll say, "Oh, I'm not very well." And what you're doing is actually you are taking some bad energy to yourself, because what you need to say is, "Well, I'm fine, but the old physical body is, you know, playing up." So that's that. Now, the same people who would probably say that I speak the way I do because I've got a devil would say, "Well, if you're so looked after by these mantis, why did they let you get a cold?" All right. So that's a question that I'm sure would get asked, believe it or not. And I thought, well, I'll answer it, because about 10 years ago, I had a hernia operation. And somebody once said to me, "Oh, why don't you ask your off-planet friends to do it?" And in that case, I actually thought, that's a really good idea. I will. And about 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, when I had my sort of next collection of visit, I did remember to ask, and I think I was, I'm trying to remember exactly the way it came across. It was answered in the spirit to which I asked it, and I was told, that is a job for your earth doctors. We only intervene in a matter of life and death. And the same with a cold. You know, I'm going to get things like that. So, you know, I wouldn't even dream of asking somebody off planet to give me a hand. It's down to me to fight this thing off, to use my mind to try to raise my vibration above it. So I just wanted to explain to people why I'm like this and the devil isn't sitting on my left shoulder. I didn't mention the British election last time because it seemed an age away. Now the British election is very close. I wanted to talk about it. We are in a British radio station and actually it's very important. We might be forgiven for saying it doesn't matter what we vote. They're all the same or they are all controlled by the same people. Normally that's right. But what we've got in America is a man that's not really controlled by anybody, Mr. Trump. And in Great Britain, there is the leader of the Labour Party, who isn't controlled by the bankers. He isn't controlled by the elite. And I'm referring to Mr. Corbyn, who is the leader of the Labour Party. And both political parties have brought their manifesto up. And look how the established newspapers attack Jeremy Corbyn. Absolutely attack him. Now what he's actually said, and I'm not angling for a vote here, I'm just saying the honest truth. His manifesto is that anybody earning £80,000 a year in Great Britain or more will be taxed more heavily. People earning under £80,000 a year will not have their national income tax increased. Now, you'd think that just about everybody would jump on that and say, that is wonderful. That's absolutely brilliant because only 12%, between 12 and 15% of the British population earn over £80,000. But that's not what we're having. We're having the established media saying, well, how can you pay for that? You know, Jeremy Corbyn said he wanted to put more money into hospitals, more money into the schools and more money into the police force. So instead of saying, let's have a debate on it, and this is really good, the established media attack him and saying, how will you pay for it? Well, when this current government announced extra billions, not millions, billions of British pounds for an updated nuclear submarine defence system, not one established newspaper posed the same question, i.e., how will you pay for it? So how can it be fair when somebody from the left leaning of the political spectrum says, I want to have better schools, hospitals and police force, and is a challenge with, well, how will you pay for it? But when the extreme right wing says, we're going to do this, that and the other, that's all fine. Fortunately, people are waking up and I really want people to vote. It's up to you what you vote. I want you to vote because, do you know, more people in Great Britain don't vote than all the other political parties put together who get their vote out. A staggering number of people don't vote. And that is partly because here in Great Britain, we just think it's not going to make any difference. People feel so disempowered. And that's deliberate by the system. And I need to say to everybody, don't do this. You need to express yourself physically with a vote. It's worth doing. Do it. So that wanted to talk about that. I will be voting, and of course I'll be voting Labour. It's the political party that I've always felt with. And just for the record, I joined the Labour Party in 1979, I think, or 1980, because I saw kids running around with no shoes on their feet in a what you'd call the prospects in America, but what we would call is a housing estate in Great Britain. And it wasn't because it was a fashion or because it was a really hot day. It was because back in those days, people in Britain were very obviously poor. So I'm not a career politician. I never was. I joined because I was just shocked and disgusted how certain people live the rich life, and others actually are scraping life together. And that hasn't changed. It's still the same. All right, so that's the election dealt with. I want to talk about chemtrails. There's some information coming out, which I've listened to, which I believe to be largely accurate. Over the last few shows, I've been asking people to send me pictures of chemtrails in, and quite a few people have, so thank you for that. We've seen a ramping up of chemtrails, and the information has come out, and I wanted to add to it, because there's a piece, that, vital piece that's missing. The information that's coming forward on the real news, the alternative media, is that a black dust, for want of a better word, is being pumped into the sky and excited by electronic technology, probably HARP, and it's giving some very strange cloud patterns right across the globe. Now, the reason for this, and this has come out by other people, but I wanted to confirm it, that it's acting as a shield so that certain negative forces in their own craft can attempt to escape. Some people call it the quarantine. I don't really like that word, but there is an embargo around the planet to a certain extent, and these negative entities are attempting to escape the planet, and this black dust in the chemtrailing is confusing detecting systems. I can't call them radar because off-planet entities don't actually have radar, but the equivalent of radar. It's allowing some of these entities to escape in the 3D sense. In other words, they don't have a portal, so they are escaping in real time and then attempting to go into the speed of light and try to get away. What the guys breaking this news failed to understand was the reason that these negative entities are trying to leave is because Connecting Consciousness did a group meditation to switch off CERN. Now, most people hopefully will have picked up on that as a group, worldwide group, we managed to shut, with the help of the planet actually, because the planet created an electrical storm, if people remember, and took out the main power grid for CERN at that crucial moment. And no portal could be established between this reality and the fourth dimension. And I know people keep writing to me saying, oh, I'm very worried about CERN. They're going to do this, going to do that. And my response is, please don't worry. What Connecting Consciousness did a few years back now is that's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. I'm not saying that CERN is good, but they don't have the capability now because the alignment of the stars, the distance from the center of the galaxy is very different. So the argument could be, well, why on earth did you switch off CERN? If we left CERN, then all these bad guys could have gone. But that's to fail to understand the point. Had CERN been allowed to open or establish a connection to the fourth dimension, they wouldn't have escaped. They would have drawn in reinforcements. That was the whole point of opening that portal for CERN, was to bring in energy and reinforcements. It is because CERN never established that connection that the bad guys are now attempting in real time in 3D world trying to leave the planet. So that information is out there, but they didn't understand why these beings are trying to leave now. They're leaving because Earth's frequency is changing and it's not a home for them. But because they didn't get their resources in, they didn't get their backup in, they are really suffering. The news is that something like 500,000 reptilians have left the planet. That seems excessive to me. I would be more happy with about 25,000. Having seen off-planet reptilian armies, I can tell you that generally they're not big. They don't need to be big. They're quite small units. They're not huge. So I don't think the information is wrong. I think it's just misunderstood. I think the establishment, if you have a list, the establishment for reptilians on this planet is 500,000. And that is thousands of years old. Today, there's nothing like that number left on the planet. So I wanted, if people come across that news, I wanted to give you that bit there. Now I want to talk about the Clinton Foundation. In the States, it is coming back up into to the limelight. In Great Britain and Europe, it's not really a hit, generally speaking. The Clinton Foundation is something set up predominantly by the Clintons, but Hillary was managing it, to get monies from governments or rich individuals, which it then said it would use to alleviate poverty or develop countries or communities that were suffering. Now, if that was true, why then, when Hillary Clinton failed to win the presidency, did the vast majority of countries and funders stop giving money to the Clinton Foundation? You see, if it really was a foundation to help the poor, it wouldn't matter whether you were president or not, because you would be funding the concept of helping people who need help. So that actually proves, because you can go online actually and you can see that the money's completely dried up, that the Clinton Foundation, as far as I am concerned, was a method to say to a country, you give to me, if you don't give to me and I become president, I will come after you. So a lot of countries were giving quite substantial amounts of money to the foundation up to the election, and then on the day of the election, when it was, you know, the result that we've got, they've just stopped. The FBI and the CIA, the good guys, always referred to Hillary Clinton as the Antichrist. Now, that's not a joke. If you understand the history of the word Antichrist and what it means, the reason they gave her that title, the other title they give them is the New Babylonian or the New Babylon. But the Antichrist is the first name they came up with. If you are involved in some of the worst, if you are involved in some of the worst crimes on the planet, which are anti the human race, then that is the Antichrist. Let's make no bones about it. Anybody who abuses children, holds governments to ransom, buys food and then doesn't deliver it to places, that is an Antichrist. So keep an eye on that, listeners in Europe and Great Britain. Try and research a bit more about the Clinton Foundation. There's a lot to play on that. I need to say that there are some good people in the FBI and the CIA who are working to uncover some very, very, very damning evidence about the Clinton Foundation. And there is still a possibility that Hillary Clinton could face a court. There's still a possibility of that. All right, let's talk about oil. There's a real battle at the moment between President Trump and the people like JP Morgan, some of the Rothschilds, not all of them, but mainly the huge venture capitalists, the huge bankers, the organizations that literally have trillions of dollars. They're not real money, remember. It doesn't actually exist, but there are figures, zeros. And they have a huge influence. And they are working with some Zionists in Israel and making it very clear there's a difference between being a Jew, there's a difference between being an Israeli, there's a difference between being a Zionist and what has sometimes been called the One World Israel. There are agents in that organization who are working, seems very odd with Arabs, but working with Saudi Arabia officials, attempting to build this pipeline, this oil pipeline, to basically take down Iran, Syria, and Russia. Because if they get this pipeline and they can then cheaply pump oil right across, they hope to undercut those three countries in oil and basically destroy them. So look, we've got Russia that doesn't have a Rothschild bank. We've got Iran that doesn't have a Rothschild bank, and Syria that now has a sort of a part Rothschild bank and part not, depending which half is owned by Assad and which half isn't. So we've got a real battle going on, and we can now move that across to the Fed, because JFK and president before him wanted to return to the gold standard. We know about, chatting about it today, about the Titanic, and how allegedly the Titanic was sank, but we know that the key bankers who were against the Federal Reserve Bank were on that boat and they were killed. We know that people like JP Morgan and others, Rockefellers, wanted the Federal Reserve because they wanted to move away from the gold standard. And just for British and European people who don't really follow it, because it's something that we don't really understand to a certain extent, is that if you look on your, in Great Britain, if you look on your £5 notes, your £10 notes, and so on, it actually says, I promise to pay the bearer. And there was a day when you used to go into the bank with your paper money, and they would have to give you the equivalent in gold. So you would go in with your £5 or your £10, and they would give you the equivalent in gold for that. So there should never have been more paper money printed than there was gold to back it up. You can't go into destruction. You can't go into debt. But of course, if you're evil, that's not what you want. Anybody who's played Monopoly knows that the more money you put into the game, then the easier it is to pay the bills. And so you can start pushing the prices up until something really goes bad. And what they wanted was a vast amount of paper in circulation and no gold to back it up. And that's what's happened. So we have a battle because President Trump actually wants to do away with the Fed. This is a long-running ambition of his to either return to a silver or a gold-backed currency. We are going to see some of the most incredible battles, and this is why they want to get rid of Trump. You know, they're talking about impeaching him, for goodness sake. You know, they're talking about impeaching him. There is so much going on, and it is because the bad people, and I mean the really bad people, are desperate. Because they know if he gets the better of them, they're finished forever. All right, quickly move on to the economy generally. I am still looking at a sizable economic crash sometime between July and October. And if we don't get an economic crash between July and October, then basically the bad guys have won. And that's a hell of a thing to say. But if they can stretch the timeline, I mean, you take a piece of elastic or a piece of rubber, what these guys are doing is effectively drawing it out. So if you were to take a piece of rubber and mark it from 1 to 12, and then lay it against, say, a ruler, but then you stretched your piece of rubber, it becomes longer than the ruler. So although it started the same size, or the markers were in line, you are effectively increasing time. And that's what these people are doing with their technology. It's not dissimilar from looking glass technology, actually, those people who have studied that. It's not a million miles away from them. But they've reached a point now where they can't stretch it any further. If we don't get an economic crash between now and October, then it means they've done something, and frankly, we're in trouble because they can manipulate whatever. Please keep your eye on that one. I wanted to talk about, I was walking with a friend the other day, and I just realized again that everything on this planet is about taking money off you. It doesn't matter if it's cajoling you, if it's nice, you know, this is a nice ice cream, this is how much it costs. You know, come over here and buy a drink, come over here and buy a meal, look at these things in the shop. And then you've got the in-between stuff, which is, well, you're going to park on this road, so listen, you need to put the money in the meter. And then you've got the other end, which is, well, if you don't get your cat vaccinated, it might die. So listen, for £50, get your cat done. So we've got everything being used on us, from sweetness right through to fear tactics. And that's what all of this thing on this planet is. All of us who've got any money, even if it's just a little bit, there's always someone who wants to take it off you. And there's a fact. You know, that's what everyone who's unawake seems just to live for, is that, oh, well, I must get money off people. I must get money. And so finally, that's when I again come round to the project that Wynne and I are working on, FairX. We want to move away from this greed mentality. And let's be honest, most people aren't greedy, but they know of no alternative. So they do what they do simply because they have no experience and nothing to look at. Wynne and I are hoping to go live in the next 2 weeks with Fairx to offer a really ethical alternative to the system we have now. And so, you know, once we are able to really launch it and we have our own dedicated websites, then I'm going to advertise that properly. All right. Thank you for bearing with me, JP.
Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. I like that. That's great. The website and Fairx. So that's how you are. That's how the country is. that's how the planet is. Everybody also is in the chat room wishing you a much better, throat and everything. And, and everybody's recommending, as I do all the time for everybody, is, vitamin D. Right. High dosage of vitamin D. It's totally non-toxic. So you can take loads and you just basically take it. Keep taking tablets every couple of hours until your cold goes away, and it will. Okay. Yeah. So high dose vitamin D.
I have actually got some, but I haven't been taking it as quite as heavy as
it that. Really helps to. You know, it's not people try to scare you and like, oh, you can't take more. No, you can. People you can take 20,000 units in a day. You can take 50,000 units. It doesn't do anything to you. It just makes you feel better. Boost your immune system. So, anyway, that's me being mummy. I'll stop that now. So, shall we begin our questions? Yeah. Okay. So, this one from Pseudo Cerberus. Now, this is an interesting question. Batman, a reptilian archetype. Dear Simon, is the fictional character Batman reminiscent of a reptilian archetype? The Dark Knight, reputed to be the world's greatest detective, operates from a place of forced emotional detachment, using his intellect, high-grade technology, violence, and menace to bring order and justice to the space he is protecting. The Sentinel is coldly chivalrous, motivated by fear, anger, and an unwavering obligation to his duty and purpose. Thank you.
Right. Look, I grew up with the original Batman in the 1960s. When you used to get whenever Batman or Robin hit someone, like the Penguin, then the big word
pow
would come right across the screen. And I used to go to cinema and watch that. Now, I like Batman. However, the question is good. No, it's not based on a reptilian. It's based on a vampire. So that is where Batman is created from vampiric energy. From the vampire. The other characters you're talking about are more AI. They're more artificial. They are detached. And they don't have compassion in the sense that they don't understand emotion. They make their decisions without emotion. And that is sold to humanity as a good thing. Oh, you know, we don't get swayed by chemicals in the body and it's all very logical. That's nonsense, because what makes humans special is our ability to create. The very fact that we have mammalian bodies and we have a whole load of chemicals and electrical signals going around us is what these other guys are jealous of. That's the point. You know, that's why they want to control us. If we were as pathetic as they would make out, they wouldn't be bothered with us. They wouldn't bother with this planet. Why would they bother? It is because humanity is so special. It can create. It can do things that very few other races can do if only the system would start to empower people, not at school tell people, oh, well, you can't levitate that cup. Oh, you can't have a psychic connection with the person in the room next door. That just doesn't happen. So, you know, humanity has got to discover what it's capable of, what it really means to be human. And so these are good points. If we just look at these things like Batman and all the other characters as a fun character, is no problem. And if we look at it on that level, but when we start to see the establishment pushing the values or pushing the advantages to an extent that, you know, you even begin to see it replicating on YouTube, then we have to ask ourselves, why is this great drive to try to convert or win an argument with the human race? Why can't we just celebrate the fact? And I've said it before that you know, humans, the system tries to make humans seem weak and, you know, useless. So, for instance, common saying, actually, in many parts of Great Britain, you make a mistake. We all make mistakes. And you can say, oh, you know, oh, well, look, I'm only human. What about when we do something really fantastic? Nobody says, yeah, I'm human. They just don't do it. You see, this is the control system that the establishment have got, because they've got all the levers of power at the moment, or most of them. You know, so, yeah, we're only human, so we can never get it right. You know, well, of course we make mistakes. We're human. But it's like, well, what do you expect? But when we do something really outstanding, we don't celebrate the fact of our humanity. So I'll say to everybody, when you're in your staff room or your office or the bus queue or wherever it is, and you do something good, say, yeah, I'm human. I can do this. And it would be very interesting to see the reaction. So it's a good question. Thank you.
Fabulous. So, from Christy Raziel, this is, yeah, anyway. So, hello, Simon and JP. Simon, thanks to you and your radio shows, I'm now very much aware of what happens when we die, and I'm happy to have a chance of getting out of here when the time comes. But I have a big dilemma. Once I'm out of the grid, where do I go? What do I do? I know you advise people to keep on saying, I want to go back to the source that created me, but what if that doesn't work? I was never put in a situation like this before, so I've no idea what to expect or if it will work at all. And I really need a backup plan in case I won't be immediately transported to source with the power of my thought. Where do I go next? And how can I make sure I won't get trapped as an earthbound spirit? I'm afraid of wandering alone through this vast universe without knowing where to go. I heard a story of a woman who had passed away, successfully went through the grid, but her soul was detected by a reptilian soul radar, and she was caught and trapped by them. I don't want the same thing to happen to me. Please shed some light on this. And, yeah, a calm blanket and some warm tea. There's a lot of kind of micro questions in there, but it's like basically expressing a fear that what if this doesn't work?
Thank you for your question. Too much fear. You need to start off from the premise that it will work, that you have absolutely every right to choose where you intend to go. And if you harbour any other view, then you have only yourself to blame if you end up in the pipe coming back down again. So you have to decide, what do you want? Do you want to go back to source and then renegotiate with source as to where you want to go? Or if you know your star family, do you want to go back to them? The star family is the first group of beings that you incarnated in, whether it was a physical body or doesn't matter. It's the first group that accepted you. You asked for them. They accepted you. When source creates us, because it's all about free will, that's the very first thing source asks us. Where do you want to go? Because you start off with free will. Where do you want to go? So you have to decide whether you wish to go back and say to source, I've experienced what I've experienced. I'm not sure where I want to go. And source will ask you questions. You'll never get told what to do. And you will come to a decision as to what's right for you. But if you start off in this 3D matrix by saying, I fear, I'm worried, I don't know what will happen, I need a backup plan. No, that's all 3D nonsense. You take ownership of who you are. You take ownership of the soul and you say, right, this is what I want to do. And if you don't know, don't stress yourself. You're not going to leave the planet just yet. So work on it. Ask yourself, where do I want to go? And to be truthful, I'd rather you spent your time here and now trying to develop yourself and also having a positive impact on the people around you. Anybody who is here now and is spiritually awake has a key role to play, and all good people need to stick together and work together. So don't get overly hung up on it. Your time to leave is not yet, but it is a good question, And I hope that my answer will help you. Thank you.
Exactly. Let's stay calm and go away from the light. Anyway. Oh, Simon.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. Have you got any honey? What's really nice, I find if I've got a sore throat is, putting honey in my tea and it kind of lubricates the throat, keeps it, cool. Anyway, if you like. Anyway, blood screening. This is from Daniela. All newborn babies have to do a blood screening called the Guthrie test. For the screening, they take several drops of blood from the heel of the babies and send it to a laboratory. They say it's to detect certain metabolic illnesses, but these illnesses are very rare and this may be suspicious. Do you know if they use this blood also for other purposes, for example, surveillance and control of all newborns? And, oh, right, this is interesting. Would it be possible to do a short meditation on your radio shows? The meditation for CERN had a big impact, and why not use this power on every radio show? I must say, it's got a very large audience, so if you're interested, Simon, that would be... very good.
I'm quite happy to think on that one. Yeah. I think that's a really good idea. That's why, you know, we do what we do, because people come up with ideas that I don't think about. I think that's a great idea and I will get back in touch with you, JP.
Yeah.
Right. The point about the blood is I'm sure that they do scan for diseases. I'm sure they do. But you're right. That isn't the main reason. As the technology has increased, then they can do more with blood, and it's all about DNA. It's all about genetics. It's all about, that fingerprint that you have. And it's doing those tests to see just how different you might be, how unusual you might be. So if you're rhesus negative blood, then they'll highlight that and that will create something will happen or something will piece of paper will be passed somewhere along the line. But it is really about tracking you. It's not a psychic track because the blood doesn't tell anybody what soul is in the baby's body, but it does tell them whether the body is bloodline. It's a bit confusing. I've tried to explain it, probably not always brilliantly. The term bloodline doesn't just mean the blood in your body. It means several things, but from their perspective, what they're doing is they're looking at the body to look and see what the blood of that body is and whether it's an elite body. And I don't mean an elite as in terms of J.P. Morgan, but in terms of a blood that's an old bloodline. So the system will just do everything and anything to take information off us. You know, you can't do anything without giving an email. Goodness knows why, because most of us don't respond to those junk emails anyway. But it's everything is about, if it's not taking money off you, it's taking information off you. In Great Britain, we have more surveillance cameras than nearly any other country on the planet. It's maybe a shock to European people and even some North American people to know that the average, the population of the United Kingdom is just over 60 million. I don't know, maybe it's 70 million, I haven't a clue. But anyway, it's between 60 and 70 million. Do you know that average person appears on a camera 12 times a day? 12 times a day, surveillance cameras. Now, there's no reason for that unless you are looking to build a system that can control people electronically. So any way that they can take information off us, that's the way that they are working. Whether they're selling it to a corporation to sell you a product, whether they're selling it to the security services, whether they're selling it to pharmaceuticals, life insurance companies, it's all about either making money or controlling the population. So yes, it's a very good question, but remember that I also said, yes, they do scan for any unusual diseases. So they do that as well. So thank you. It's a good question.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, the idea that people like Bill Clinton being bloodline, but also being very, how do we say this? Promiscuous, that's the word. That this is probably the only way to catch what they've been up to is to see what they produced, if you see what I mean. And that sounds like a good explanation of what's going on there.
The thing is, if you, one of the most powerful people on the planet, and for a while Bill Clinton was, then he was above the law. And it was only when the drugs deal, the battle between the CIA and himself, and that's why he was outed and reported. Had he not upset anybody, then he would have been able to carry on. It was only because he upset somebody more powerful than himself, and they made an example of him. That's all it was. They made an example of Bill Clinton so that no other politician would attempt to take them on. Remember that I would say that one third of all lawmakers in the Senate, in Congress, probably are blackmailed. I would say at least a third, the elite, have enough stuff on them to blackmail them. And hence that's why the head of the FBI had to be got rid of, because I know for a fact that certain people had information on him, which meant that he couldn't serve his president, Mr. Trump, as he should have been able to. And there are a number of people in high office who fear being blackmailed by elites, and therefore they push away their conscience and they do what they're told. So I'm delighted when the head of the FBI was got rid of. Absolutely delighted. Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Okay, now, there's a question, right, from Zeech. Do trees and wild animals, as deers, bees, bears, etc., he's got a massive list, but I'm not going to go, see the human biofield thoughts and feel human emotions?
Good question.
What is the best way to connect animals and plants' mind and speak to them and hear their voices, opinions, and advice?
What a lovely question. Yeah. Well done. Excellent. That's a shamanic question. as I was, it's not a joke, but you know, I was made an honorary shaman by a group of people. What that's worth, I don't know, but I suppose I demonstrated something which they liked. So it's a shamanic question. Right. C is not the right answer for some of those, living creatures, but feel is a better one. There are a number of, insects that feel more than they see, or in terms of heat. So an auric field, they might not express in forms of color, but they might fly through a person's auric field and feel that the color is different heat. So, you know, white might be quite hotter than red, etc., etc. Trees don't see, but they feel, as you think an insect can see. Even the earth can feel. So yes, the answer is that some are more awake than others, but they can interact with a person who is on a shamanic path, who can place his or her hands on the object, tree, stone, and they can hold an insect, but don't hold a wasp, and attempt to make a communication with it. And there are some people that can strike up a rapport with something, uncannily, and other people who just can't seem to make any connection whatsoever. And it's all about whether we've thrown off the shackles of the matrix. So the answer is yes. Anything that's organic on this planet, you can interact with, but not at the level that we would understand in school. Good question. Lovely question. Thank you.
Excellent. So, now here's the thing. In the past, what was the original, okay. So I'm going to have to pronounce some names, and you know what us Brits are like with names. All right. So there's the thing called the Archaeum in Russia. Was it a type of university, observatory, time machine, dimensional portal, or Stargate? Have you heard of this?
I have, but I don't have any information on it because I understand it was closed down. It was deactivated. Mm-hmm. And as such, it's not playing a role upon the planet at the moment. So my understanding was it was closed down or mothballed, I think is the word used.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's better. My mute button wasn't working, but I was still muted.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe the person has got more information, but the last I heard it actually was mothball because it could actually be a little bit dangerous.
All right. It's got there's a sort of sub question. Is there also any connection to other places like the Mountain, Kailash, Buchegi, Bosnian Pyramids, yes. Avebury or Stonehenge?
Yes, because we're looking at very ancient technology. That's why I talked about mothballing it. Some of this technology is hugely advanced, but incredibly old. You know, a lot of the stuff coming out of Antarctica, just beginning to come out of Antarctica, is really old, but is more advanced than some of the grey alien technology that was dropped here in the 47 crash. That's why the alternative media talked about ancient aliens, and that's why Discovery Channel and sort of these pseudo corporate companies were sort of talking about ancient aliens, because they know there's ancient tech down there. And they want to try and tap into human consciousness and try and access the group consciousness to activate some of this alien tech. You know, people don't understand, who are unaware and unawake, that if you have 500,000 people sitting in front of a television and they watch a program, it is possible to not get into each person's head in this particular scenario, but it is possible to get the intent, and through that intent in the group consciousness, to actually then make something physically happen on the planet. And so with ancient technology, that's one way that they thought of opening or triggering. You know, something's been dormant for a very long time. You need something really special to start it up. You need a huge boost of energy, and not just electric. Some of these tunnels or portals, like the Chagy Mountains, the Giza Pyramid, there's one that goes to the States in America, Tibet, Ireland, I think. You know, these are mothballed but can be activated. But if we start doing that, then we really need to know what we're doing. So it was a good question. Get some good questions. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. I'm always interested in those ancient sites. Okay. Right. Oh, dear. Look, I know we did it last year, and I think we have to sort of top up the thing once a year, but there is a big psyop going. The flat earth and the dome, and now they're saying it's the biggest secret. So the question is, what is your opinion on the flat earth and the dome? Yep. Why is it considered to be the biggest secret? And what is this thing about they have this, like, they have the map of, the United Nations has this map, the flat earth map. You know, please say, speak your heart.
Okay. Right. Okay. When we switch on a computer, if we're lucky, we have a 3D screen, and we can see things in 3D. I can't touch the screen except just to press buttons or move things about, but I can't put my hand into the screen. I can tell you that off-planet entities, reptilian and some others, have the capability to draw things out of a screen. So, for instance, if you had some symbols on a screen, you could actually reach your hand onto the screen, the objects would then come out and be projected out from the screen holographically in 3D. And you can actually manipulate them and use them. So it's not just moving things on a screen, it actually can come out and just hover in the air. So that's one way that we can do it. But all of that is created by a disk in the computer. The disk in the computer is flat. That's what a computer disk is. It's flat. But it doesn't mean that what it's creating is flat. It is creating a experience for the observer, which appears to give an all-round perception and touch it, feel it. But it is being generated from a flat disk. The Earth is not flat. The Earth is sort of roundish. It's not flat. I promise you, it's not flat. but it is being holographically created from something that we might consider to be flat. And this is the biggest secret, that something that is a holographic creation, it's not AI, don't get me confused, it's not AI, it's a source created, but it is a real living experience that we have every day and every night. But it's being created from something that is not, that we would understand. So, no, the Earth is not flat, but just like a flat disk on a computer can create 3D images on the right screen, so this creational energy can do that. That's what people are confused about, because there is this knowledge about the flat Earth, and it's being created from something that's encoded that could be considered to be disc-shaped. If you look at the universe, the galaxies, they're not actually round, they're elliptical. They sort of look like a DVD or a CD or a hard drive. We begin to understand that time moves in a corkscrew fashion or goes round and round. So it's just a little bit mixed up. People are just a little bit mixed up. And I only get exasperated because if people can find a bit more time to do the research, they'll begin to grasp it. How many of us have sat in a bar or in a cafe or a restaurant and you're talking to somebody and you suddenly get that glimpse that everything else around you is created and you're detached from it? You're talking to the individual and then you've got the trees or the cars and the table, and there seems to be a disconnect between the immediate surroundings and the surroundings at a distance. And then when you think about it, zoop, it comes back on again and you're all back with it. And there are many people who perhaps into an airport or a busy rail terminal, and they suddenly get, it can start with deja vu actually, but it can start with things and they'll think, I feel a bit odd here. So many of us have the ability to catch it out, and some people can see the crisscross in the sky, not chemtrails, not the matrix with the numbers, but thin lines crisscross. You draw lots and lots of horizontal and vertical lines, and more people are seeing this networked crisscross pattern in the sky. That is the framework. I don't like the word matrix. That's the framework through which all of creational energy is hung on. And if you are beginning to see the crisscross, it is because you are leaving in your energy body, you are leaving the third dimension, you are moving through the fourth, hopefully for the fifth, but you are beginning to perceive with your own eyes, not the third eye necessarily, but your own eye, you are seeing the crisscross motion. That is a clear sign that that individual is on an enlightened journey. There's more and more people like that. So that's my answer to the flat earth question. Thank you, JP.
Thanks very much, Simon. I know it's a pain in the posterior, but there we go. all right, so... Yeah, this is interesting. This is Max Yesbutt. His question is about the sword. Nearly 1 month ago, I recall that when I was a kid, I could play for hours with a stick, pretending it was a sword. I was throwing it in the air and tried to catch it back by the handle. I can't ignore the similitude with your reptilian sword ceremony. What do you think about that? Did I fail the test, or was it just a kid's game? Thank you for your time and devotion, Max.
Well, thank you, Max. Well, it could be a kid's game, couldn't it? But you said you spent hours doing it. Most people would get a ball and catch that. But you're doing it with a stick. You wouldn't do it with a sword because in the 3D world, it might, you know, get stuck in you. But you feel confident to do it with a stick. The only way I can answer it for you was I'd have to see a picture of you. A photograph would do. Or we could have a Skype consultation. And I'd very, very quickly tell you whether it was just a kid's game or whether you were reenacting something that you had had off-planet experience with. It's the test given to lots of Earth humans when they're children, and it's about courage and determination and also loyalty to them. If you believe that if you throw this great big pointy sword up in the air, if you actually believe you can catch it, then you are overcoming, it's mind and matter, you are overcoming the physical. But if I was to see you, I would tell you straight away whether it was just a kid's game or whether you were reenacting something. So yeah, you know, that's more common than we would think. Thank you.
Okay, so on to from Jojo. Why are 10% of the population left-handed? Does this have any connection to your soul or indicator of your origin? Very good question.
Interesting. the established, the established powers that be, probably relatively accurately have decided through ancient stone tools made by Stone Age man and woman that right-handedness became predominant somewhere between 1.8 million years ago and 2 million years ago. So we could be quite specific. Somewhere between 1.8 and 2 million. Now, we had a human who had the name Homo habilis. That's the technical term. And Homo habilis wasn't particularly bright. And at about 2 million years, and at about 1.9 million years, so 100,000 years, which is totally impossible, but Charles Darwin didn't really look at that, we get suddenly this being with a huge increased brain, not called Homo erectus, actually, that's wrong, Homo ergaster. So we have Homo habilis at 2 million years, and suddenly, by 1.9, 1.8.5, Homo ergaster, with a massively increased brain. And we see a preponderance of right-handedness in terms of the tools, so the established say, and I probably think they're right. Looking at the way they've been made, and the cutting edge, was it for a left hand or a right-handed, like a knife, you know, in terms of holding the handle had to be made, chipped out of stone. And if we accept that off-planet entities were tinkering around with the native population, then we would understand that reptilians are all right-handed. That's why in the Victorian times in Great Britain, right up to the 1970s, if children were left-handed, they were made to be right-handed, and so on and so forth in the armies of the world. Until relatively recently, you were taught to fire your gun right-handed. And then obviously that changed. So right-handedness is a trait of reptilian culture, and therefore I believe that as it was the reptilians that were time and time again tinkering with humanity, they made sure that the vast majority were right-handed. Good question. Thank you.
Fabulous. I love the so what you're saying is that the right-handedness is not
no, it's not
a human thing.
No, it's not. It's been artificially induced.
Really?
That's why so many people are ambidextrous, or so many people when they're very young, they could eat their food with a left or right hand, or catch a ball with a left or right. But after just a very few years on this planet, they've been told it's right-handedness. So we still have got this, and through the church, remember, the church always used to say that the left hand was evil. And so the church, the Catholic Church in particular, would forcefully indoctrinate people to be right-handed.
Hmm.
So we are sort of facing some very, very deep-rooted primitive values, which are, you know, all traceable to a reptilian overlordship.
Wow. And so does that mean that...
yes, it
does. It's the left brain. It's all about, like, forcing everybody into the left brain using their right hand. Is that part of the whole deal?
Right.
To hold people in the matrix.
Yeah, and I'm sure that most of our listeners know that the right portion of your brain controls the left side of your body, and the left side of your body controls the right side. I beg your pardon, the left part of your brain controls the right side of your body. One part of the brain is the very logical part, A to Z, and the other part is, oh, let me write a poem. Let me paint some nice colours. So one's the creative side. So, you know, the beautiful thing about humanity is that we've got both. We've got this amazing ability to create, but we can also be logical. Well, if you're reptilian, you're not really understanding the creational side of it. It's not really what they get off on. So if they can't make people think the way they do, then they'll make the body do what they think it should do. And that's what it's always been, isn't it, on this planet, is they can't break the human spirit, but they can keep you in a prison, or they can make you do things in this way. They can make your physical body do certain things, but they can't make the soul of your body really agree. And that's important too, to always remember that. I mean, here's an example. In the Second World War, the Japanese made some American and British prisoners build a railway line. And one of the Japanese commandants, he wanted the British officers to get on their knees to him and recognize that he was very powerful. So what the particular British officer did was he had a postage stamp, and in Great Britain, we've always had the heads of our monarch, king or queen, on a postage stamp. The royal family have always been on the stamps. And so he licked the stamp and stuck it, it's all a true story, he licked the stamp and stuck it underneath the desk of the commandant. And so when he got down, he used to say in his head, I'm not bowing to you, I'm bowing to the king. So the point I'm making is that the soul of humanity is indomitable and generally cannot be broken, but your physical body can. And so that is what makes us strong, is that we have to understand that we don't die inside. We are really special. We are really, really special. I wish more decent, honest, unawake people would begin to value who the heck they really are, and not think that they've got to sit in front of a box eating chips, or talking about who won the fashion competition, or when the latest cell phone's going to come out, or, you know, what will be this or what will be that. What about some real conversation about where's the human race going? You know, will we be around in a million years' time? What will we be like? This is what's happened, that the exciting conversation that we should all be having has been, well, they're trying to push it down a tube so that we just have all the nonsense. I mean, God knows, I put on, sometimes I go onto YouTube and like the top 20 hits always comes up and I look at it and it's all brain dead stuff. It's all absolute bar, a few bits which I think are good, but it's all just doesn't do anything for the human race. It doesn't empower people. It doesn't give people a flash of insight or any confidence or enthusiasm. It's just basically trying to get them to switch off, become little robots, and just look at this and laugh at it. And I'm very worried that there's going to be a sizable portion of people on the planet who might not wake up. JP, I think it's my break time.
Wow, you've done so well. It has really zipped by. So somebody must have put a spell on you. Okay. Well,
can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Good afternoon. So here we are. I accidentally queued the song up earlier and I didn't unmute it. So they had 2 minutes 36 seconds of silence. Instead of I Put a Spell on You by Nina Simone, but they did have How It Feels to Be Free by Nina Simone after it. So really they had a kind of meditation on freedom. Let's put it that way.
Funny thing is, I'm receiving texts from everybody, not everybody, I'm receiving lots of texts from people saying the sound's gone. That'll be it then.
Yep, that's it. So, yeah. Actually, people...
They have told me they've got it back.
Yeah, actually people don't send text to Simon. Actually, you don't really need to tell me. I have an assistant who will tell me immediately when the sound is down. Nobody else needs to tell me. It's obvious. It's like, because I get a...
Well, they don't know that, though, do they? Because they're thinking, oh, I wonder if he knows.
Yes, yeah.
They don't know that you're omnipotent, you see.
Well, I'm not particularly omnipotent, but I have a good team, which is the next best thing, really, isn't it?
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you can at least, if you've got like two people, one person can watch your front, one person can watch your back. That's good. Anyhow, back to the show. And we have, thousands more questions. Well, and
I want to thank people who've
donated. Oh, yeah, yes. Thank you, Ty. Go ahead.
Yes, please. I'm actually, actually, I'm off to a hopefully mineral and fossil fair end of this week. So I'm glad that I've got this cold now, because I wouldn't fancy walking around all the lovely minerals with this horrible cold. So I'm hoping the cold will have gone by the time I go to the mineral fossil fair, so I can have a look at all the minerals and talk to all the stallholders. Because there's lots of people there, actually, who don't just there for the minerals from a technical point of view. They are there because of the healing capabilities of those minerals, and I love to talk to those people. Right, I wish to thank people, and there's been quite a few donations. I think people know that I've not been too well. The stomach thing is looking more and more like a stomach ulcer. I've got, tomorrow, Monday, I've got a chat with a consultant at the local hospital. And, cause I'm not a very good patient, they wanted to talk to me first to see what, to explain everything to me. And then I gonna go back at a later date and have everything done. But it looks like a stomach ulcer. And of course, I can't really say to the doctor, well, you know what, there's a lot of nasty Satanists out there who this, that and the other. So I'm sure he'll talk.
Yeah, that goes down well.
Yeah, I think he'll talk to me about, you must, you know, and I think there's some truth in not getting too stressed and rushing around the country and stuff like that. So I do have to take it a bit more easy, but, you know, it's not just about stress. Right. Here we go. Right. Kirsten, Julius, Alan, Suzanne, Jason, Enrique or Enrique, Aaron, Ashanka, Mohammed, Chris, Jennifer, Catherine, Helmut, Edgar, Robert, Matthew, Bernard, Sue, Laura, Christopher, Chuck, Harold, Rosemary, Sheena, Shamsa, Elisa, Tina, Jim, Janet, Christina, Henrik, Nadia, Cheryl, John, James, M, excuse me, M-I-O-P, Thomas, Keuk, Nathan, Anna, Maria, Imogen, Florian, that's a nice name, isn't it, Florian, Philip, Sarah, nearly finished, Marcus, William, Sandra, Becky, and Bill. I want to thank everybody, and I know that's not everyone, and you know, whether you gave a lot or whether you gave £1, your name is there. And I want to thank you so much because, you know, you really, you can't do the work for me, but you support me in a way that, you know, really does help. It puts gas in the tank. It puts fuel in the tank. I can go and see things and do things. And if I want to go out and have a day out and go to the seaside or do something like that, I'm not thinking, oh goodness me, I can't even afford to go out. You know, and I do need those breaks. I need that downtime. It allows me to work with people who, haven't got any money. You know, I might drive somewhere and they need help, but they haven't got any money. Well, I do it for free. You know, anyone who's had a consultation with me and who hasn't got any money knows I will work with them for free. Sometimes that causes an embarrassment and I say, look, if you want to give me £5 or equivalent of $5 donation, I'm happy to do that. You know, and, you know, this is what it is. It's about, that's why I do this for goodness sake. It's about helping people. So all of you who have helped and donated, you are helping me to do the work. You are putting your support in a real physical way, and I just thank you from the bottom of my heart. So thank you. Right. Done.
Dun, dun, dun. So. All right. From the flat earth. Here's a new twist.
What?
From a new twist, right?
Are you teasing me because I'm ill?
No. Honest. Right, this is a new twist. All right. So, so take a breath. This is,
I will.
All right. So this is from Colts. My question is, why is the moon in the sky at the same time as the sun? Also, when and why and by whom did the moon get replaced by the satellite we see today? Please, if possible, can you give us details on why we never landed on it? Have we landed on it yet? And who and what is on the moon that won't allow us there? So questions about the moon.
Right, one at a time.
Yeah.
Right, I can't answer the question why you see the sun and the moon in the sky, because I'm not an astro-thingy physicist. There will be a very strong technical reason as to why that is. Is something going on in terms of the tilt of the Earth? Actually, yes, I believe there is. I have never subscribed to a pole shift. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding. If the poles were to shift, it would be end of life on this planet, full stop. But what we argue is a magnetic pole reversal. We had one 700,000 years ago, and I believe there was probably one about 145,000 years ago. It's where magnetic north becomes magnetic south and vice versa. What it does do is it really throws off animals like bees, who use magnetism to find their way around, and bats, things like that. So that is a difficult thing for life on the planet, but it's not the end of the Earth. When people talk about a pole shift, almost like they're thinking about the north and south poles, that's not going to happen. Is the Earth moving ever so slightly extra on its axis? Yes, I believe it is. But as to why the sun and the moon are appearing in the sky, you need to talk to a 3D scientist who actually will give you a pretty good explanation as to why that is. When did the original moon get removed and the artificial satellite put in? I don't know the time. I know it was reptilian, and Credo Mutua talks about in his people's memory, which is obviously oral tradition, he talks about the moon being rolled into place, or at least it being rolled like a ball into place. We know that probably the only object out there that keeps the same face towards us or towards any planet is the moon. Every other object spins in a way that every so often, hours, days, brings a different aspect of that planet or that object, that moon, that asteroid, whatever it will be, to face us. But the moon doesn't. It presents the same side. And this is, again, so frustrating, because how is it that academics who allegedly are very learned accept it? Why in goodness names don't they question it? You know, if you are an astrologist, you understand certain things. If you're an astronomer, you don't seem to understand anything. You know, you have all the empirical evidence, data, right or wrong, coming from NASA. Goodness knows how many telescopes taking pictures and spaceships going up there. And they know that only the moon presents the same face all the time. Why don't they ask why is that? And then the next question is, well, what are they hiding? It's not the dark side of the moon, it's the far side of the moon. So clearly, if you are presenting one side to the Earth, there must be something going on the other side, don't you think? And it's just this frustration I have with academia, who have access to books and journals far above the rest of us, and yet they know less than we do, clearly. Because otherwise, why aren't they writing to the faculty, to the principal, saying, I don't understand this. The other thing I'll talk about quickly is light. When I was at school, and they'll do it now, I was taught that gravity is about the Earth spinning. You know, the Earth spins and its centrifugal force creates a pulling effect and its gravity. And I then learned through off-planet entities it's got nothing to do with it whatsoever. It's about light striking the atmosphere. That's why the moon has very little gravity, because it has very little atmosphere. The moon does have an atmosphere, actually, as does Mars, but it's very, very, very thin. And because of that, that's why gravity is much less, because there's less of atmosphere. And of course, what they'll say is, oh, well, the planet is much smaller, or the moon is much smaller, therefore it's gravitate. You know, they'll just come up with reason after reason that's not the fact. We see light because atmosphere is made up of particles, and when light, which is just an energy wave, strikes those particles, it excites those particles. You know, it bounces off the planet and is reflected back. So there is so much at the very basic level that has been lied to people. I'm not even talking about the Roswell crash. You know, I'm talking about basic things like light and gravity. Lightning. You know, I was taught at school that lightning comes from the air, comes down, hits a tree, the tree blows up, and then the lightning goes into the ground. That's not what happens. The lightning is coming up from the earth. The lightning actually comes up from the earth, hits a tree, and goes on up into the sky. But because the way sound and light work, it looks the other way around. You know, there is so much that is being lied to. And the reason they're lying it, because if we understood that the law of physics that we are being peddled or sold actually is inaccurate, it would lead us on our own personal journeys to question and understand. So what they try and do is they bottleneck, or they close off any debate by presenting us with puerile facts and puerile answers for something that actually is really exciting. You know, so it does annoy me. And the question is a good question. Now, what was the rest of it, JP? I've forgotten.
Okay. Now, that was about... you would, because it's fascinating questions about the moon. Let me just get that. There we go. When, why, and by whom did the moon get replaced by the satellite we see today?
Right, so it's reptilians.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the moon wasn't made and then rolled here for the Earth. It already existed. And it was an already existing object, which was then utilized. There was a base on Mars. Well, there's many bases, but the base I'm talking about is a base on Mars and a base on the moon. And they are called Adam and Eve. And they're called Adam and Eve because when Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, Adam took one group of humans in one direction and Eve took another group in parallel. So they could always see each other, but there might have been 5-6 miles gap between them. Adam didn't just take men with him. He took men and women, and Eve took men and women as well. And the point here was that if one column, one escape party was wiped out, then there was a chance because there was another party going. So when the Bible says that there was only one man and one woman, I'm afraid that's absolutely nonsense. There were hundreds of humans of the style that we are today, hundreds of them that were all expelled from this idyllic reptilian hideaway, which we call Eden. And that's why we've got a base called Adam and Eve, one on Mars and one on the moon, because they are places where people go. And if the object is, if one lot gets wiped out, we've got another group there. The moon also contains alien grey bases, which are incredibly old and were mothballed. And then when the, maybe it was around about 12,000 years ago, the moon was rolled in, but I can't be sure. I've never actually asked that question. I'll need to ask it in a bit, but I'm not feeling that good at the moment. So when that moon was rolled in, there are a number of bases that were mothballed, and there was a deal done much more recently with what we call the Secret Space Fleet, the elite behind the Secret Space Program, to unmothball one of those bases and give the humans access to it. These were old grey bases, and then another base was part activated with greys, so you've actually got the classic example of the greys at the basement, and then the humans in the higher levels. There was a war quite recently where reptilians were attacking humans in one of the bases, and I do believe it was Alex Collier some 20 years ago who started talking about this, and I totally agree with him. That's the information that I had as well. I think that's the days of Ronald Reagan and Russian President Gorbachev. In fact, I seem to remember there was an emergency meeting between Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev, and they met on a boat out in international waters or somewhere, and it was supposed to be talking about peace treaties, but it was actually to talk about the situation in this base. I can't remember if it was the moon or Mars, but there was a serious war going on. And so Ronald Reagan was saying to the Russians, look, you know, we need to work together on this, et cetera, et cetera. So the moon has played an incredible important role. And just go to look at the tarot cards. Look how often the moon object appears. Think about our poor old Princess Diana of Wales, who was murdered. She was nicknamed by the elite as the moon goddess. So in ancient mythology, because of the reptilian line, the moon has always played a very key part in not just science, but also mythology. That's a really good question. Thank you.
There you go. So just to, you know, thank you, Simon. You have allowed my inner self to flourish in advance. For that, I am forever indebted to you. I truly love you beyond words. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Right. Let me just respond to that. That is so kind of you. One of the reasons I do this is because I wanted to show people not to have any fear. I went public in 2010 and said things that most people wouldn't dream of saying. Even if it had happened to them, they wouldn't perhaps have the drive to do it. I wasn't the only person. There have been people before me who had said similar things. And they were all shot down in flames. They were all absolutely vilified, attacked, pilloried, absolutely made their lives an absolute hell. And I know that there are literally millions of people in every country who know what I say to be true, who have had experiences. They may not be the same as mine, but they've had enough experiences to know that what they're taught in school doesn't account for it. And I wanted to go public partly to give people the confidence and strength and said, look, you know, I'm out here. I'm saying for what it is, as indeed are other people. And I'm going to literally bare myself and say the sort of things that have happened to me. And I know that, unevolved people of the elite will attack me like a pack of hounds. But I'm so driven, and I have to be truthful. I've got to tell the truth. I've got to wake people up, or at least I've got to give people something. And whether they go and wake up and do their own research is up to them. But I couldn't sit back and just know what I know and not get in there and get my hands dirty and get on with the fight. So, you know, everybody across the planet, he or she has a role to play. And I always say to people, it doesn't matter whether you're sticking stamps on an envelope or whether you're doing emailing or whatever it is. If you are making a contribution to the enlightenment of humanity, then there is no greater sacrifice than you can do. And, you know, it heartened me. The number of people who said to the British election, you know, why don't you stand? You know, why don't you stand as Prime Minister? And they weren't being silly or joking. They were genuinely saying, we need something. And my answer was, nobody expected this election now. Nobody did. But you know what? In the years to come, I couldn't create a Labour Party or a Conservative Party because politics does not serve the need of humanity. If I did anything, I would use my connecting consciousness and create a party based on that. That would be the connecting consciousness party. And who knows, one day, if we ever get sort of financial backing, sadly, that's what you need, or we get that, then why shouldn't we? Because at the moment we are living in a 3D world and we can't always just shut the door and, because then we don't engage, we don't change. I didn't come to this planet to shake my head and go, tut, 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 isn't it bad? Like so many other people, I came here to do something. And the trouble is that so many people don't know what to do because the system has disempowered them. They desperately want to do something, but don't know how best to go about it. So who knows, one day, if the situation's right, I will go national with a British connecting consciousness party, which would have to go into politics. I hate that. But maybe we could make a change. You know, I'll try anything that's legal, that brings a change on this planet. We can't go on like this. It's just crazy. Even people who are not awake, they know the people in government, not everybody, but people in government are ripping them off. They know it. But they're so disempowered. Oh, what can I do about it? I'm only one person. You know, oh, you know, there's no alternative. And you're thinking, you've just, in one sentence, you've just given up your sovereignty. And you might as well just be a slave. You know, stick your legs out. We'll put some metal shackles on it and put your wrists out. And there you go. Well, no, that's not what this is about. The human race was never designed to walk around in chains. The human race was designed to flourish, to live, to be happy and to grow. So if I have in my own small way helped to wake people up, get people to start waking other people up, then fantastic. And long may it rain. So thank you for that. I do appreciate you and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Excellent. And you know, I have to say, I'm no one. You know, we're all like, we all brought up to think that we were no one. And, you know, chopped liver or just completely, worthless or, what's the word? Ineffectual individuals.
Yes.
And now we're learning, oh, hang on a second. Actually, there is a reason that I'm here and oh my God. And there's, and this is the reason I, am holding on to Wolf Spirit Radio and, helping it flourish, because what it is, I mean, without knowing, without blatantly putting it, it's a place for all the people who have had that thought to come and meet each other and form what you're talking about. There's got to be something that is an alternative to politics.
Yes.
That keeps the country running.
Yes.
That keeps everybody happy and that looks after everybody, doing the thing that we projected onto the government to do for us, but they have never, ever done.
Correct. Absolutely. And if for anything ever launched me into that frame, it would be because people would inundate me saying, you've got to do it because you just have to. So if ever that occurred and we were ever in a position to do it, then I would. And, you know, Wyn Keach and I are working to bring the Fairex system to this planet, and no single corporation is ever going to own it. And this is what it's about. It's about independence, because if you're not independent, then all the best will in the world is corrupted. And that's what happens with politicians. I would say that 90% of politicians go in with the best intent in the world. And then they have to make a decision. Do they want to be a nothing? Or do they want to be promoted and have a bigger salary? But in exchange for that, they have to be compromised. Well, I've got a different way, which is we go in and we do what people want within reason. And we do the best for people, and we don't just sit down and have meetings with one or two people who make decisions for the whole planet. You know, the whole concept is wrong. So, you know, who knows what the future will be, but I would do anything that I could, even if it was of a personal detriment. Well, it was a personal detriment. When I went public, it was a huge personal detriment to me. I was absolutely attacked left, right and center. But you know what? One of the amazing things of all this is how I'm not attacked in the same way now. They couldn't get the better of me, by and large, so they left me alone. You know, when they realized that every time a TV station, or actually it was mostly the radios or the newspapers, attacked me, the general public did not respond in the same way. And so they realized they were losing their audience. They were losing it. And so towards the latter part of when the papers were still doing it, they became far more balanced in their reporting. And all they're bothered about is how many newspapers they sell. And when the feedback coming was that, you know, this guy is okay, you know, why are you attacking him? They changed it. Now what they do, they won't engage with me. You know, I don't get a single request from an established media organization at all. Nothing. The last one I had was about 3 years ago. And when I've asked, they've said, you are a bit of a maverick. we can't control you. You don't sort of say the things we want you to say. And they have said that to me. You tend to get the better of us. Two people have said that from the BBC. You tend to get the better of us. And I remember one radio man saying to me, well, I've never had anybody on my radio show speak to me in the way you've spoken to me. Yeah, but you know, that's it. They don't like it, do they? They're quite happy to pour vitriol, and lies on people. And when someone says, actually, I'm going to respond to that and do so in a logical argument that totally takes down their prejudice and destroys their false edifice, they don't like it. So I don't know why I came to this planet, but I found a path. And as long as there's a use that I can do something good, then I'll do it. And you're the same, JP. You have a radio show. So many other people doing something. You know, and that's what we do. We work together as a team. And the hope is that enough people on the crucial moment will wake up and they will grasp the nettle, as we say, and they will say, right, what can I do to help? And that's the moment that we get critical mass. Anyway, I better shut up and we better get on with some more questions.
No, I think you're on a vein. There is a vein of truth that you're tapping here, Simon. And also, you know, there's so many people who feel like, why the heck am I here? You know,
yes,
using other words, but why am I here? And the explanation hasn't quite been told to us. It's coming from inside us. It's like, we all feel the need to find others who are like us. It's more important to find people who we can relate to. And that is what it is. This is following those impulses brings you to places like Wall Spirit Radio and other internet places, because there's no other expression. You know, YouTube is finding little groups. So everybody's reforming these new clans. I think that there's going to be a kind of new clan society that won't need politicians, because everybody knows what to do.
Yes, the thing is that because of the way humans are designed, there has to be some form of hierarchy. That's the difficulty at the moment. You know, there are people that say, I'm better than X. You know, I went to university and I did 7 years in university. I'm entitled to more pay than somebody who empties the trash. I'm entitled to more foreign holidays. I'm entitled to a bigger fridge. I'm entitled to a bigger motor car. And until this ego is dealt with, we are always going to be in a situation where hierarchy dominates. You know, it's only the third and the fourth dimension. Let's take the police force or the army. You know, you have two stripes. You're a corporal. You have three stripes. You're a sergeant. I know in America it's bars for captains. But there's only in the third and the fourth dimension that you have this hierarchy. When you leave it and go into the fifth, you discover something much more like the American Native American Indians, which is you have a group of elders who are there by right of the fact that they are older. They have not just physical age, but they have imparted memories, and they are the gatekeepers for their tribe, for their village, for their community. And then you have warriors, and then you have, you know, medicine men and what have you, but you don't have this horrendous hierarchy that we have on this planet. And until we can begin to break that down, we will always face a problem. So anything that's started up does have to have a form of hierarchy to be accepted by the system. But ultimately, that's all got to change.
Well, that's a very interesting thing. Anyway, shall we stick to the let's stick to the topic. Why not? Actually, I think these are fantastic topics. I love it when you get some passion behind you, Simon. We all do, actually.
Even when I'm ill.
Even when you're ill. Isn't that amazing? And I hope this kind of is flushing something out that you know, sometimes a cold is a repression of something that needs to come out. Anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Let's take it. All right. So, this is from Chris. Suicide programs. Who installs a suicide program, and how is it done? What is the gain for them? And how do we deactivate these programs? And what happens to your soul if you actually kill yourself under the spell of the program? Thank you, Simon. I'm still I am struggling to continue the light. Oh, to continue the fight. Love to you.
Well, so, you need to send me an email then, don't you? Simon Parks. Simon.Parks3@btopenworld.com. I don't want anybody leaving the planet unless there's a real need for it. Right. Because of the nature of the question, there are some elements that I will not answer because it could trigger people unwittingly or unknowingly, but I will answer it in broad terms. First of all, a suicide program, well, I have to remember that there'll be many people who are new. Thank goodness we get new people who are new to the topic and they're thinking, what's a suicide program? I can't just assume everybody knows. A suicide program is a mind control, a logarithmic, preset piece of data that is put into a traumatized person, which activates when a certain trigger is hit. So, for instance, let us take a person like Marilyn Monroe. Blonde hair, blue eyes, the absolute epitome of a reptilian sex slave. Marilyn Monroe was a perfectly wonderful, loving person. And she was identified for stardom. And as part of that, they will see things and hear things. And they could really put people in trouble because they could testify in court and say, well, you know, that is the man that did this and that's the man that did that. So what they do is they hedge their bets and they put a suicide program. And when the individual begins to break free of their conditioning, then they will self-terminate. That sounds very, I sound very dispassionate, but I have to be. Because I often work with people who have these programs and I cannot afford to allow myself to be swayed. When the oldest person that I've ever deprogrammed was 60 years old, the youngest person that I ever deprogrammed was 16 years old. Now, from my point of view, this is fascinatingly wonderful technically, because the 60-year-old person had been mind programmed at the Tavistock Institute. And the program that she had was Yellow Brick Road programming, Wizard of Oz. And it was so basic, you know, it's like, wow, this is like Stone Age technology. The 16-year-old girl, obviously you tell I'm not mentioning any names because I have to protect my clients. The 16-year-old girl not only had the most advanced self-destruct suicide program, but by this time, so 16 years ago, they realized there were people like me. So they were putting booby traps in. You know, in the jungle films, you see like the wire stretched between two trees and the person trips the wire and the bomb goes off. Well, they put booby traps in, which they never even considered. The 60-year-old woman, they never even considered that anybody could understand what they were doing and could get in there and free humanity. But by the time the 16-year-old girl was done, they knew there were a group of people out there who could do this. And that is fascinating. And also the way the program is done and placed. I'm not going to traumatize people by telling you how it was done. It's horrendous. It's totally evil. And because of the work I do, that's why I say things like, I can't forgive men, predominantly, who do these things to children. So, suicide program is placed in a person to make them self-terminate should they begin to break free of their program and they could start to name names. And it is horrifically common now. It used to be just the preserve of the military. It's now the corporations, the entertainment, the media industry, just about anything where there's lots of millions or billions of dollars. You know, let's put it this way. You're a CEO, chief executive of a big company. You will see things and you will know things. So does the people who, like the chairman, the guys who really run these organizations, do they want this individual who's just basically a figurehead? He's hugely well paid, but he's a figurehead. They don't really want him suddenly having a fit one day or a nervous breakdown and then rushing off to the media and saying, I need to tell you what X company and Y company have done. So these guys have all got them in. That mixed in with mind control, I don't like the word split personality. That doesn't do it correctly. We call it alternate personalities. The most challenging case I had was a woman who had 12 personalities. Sometimes people will give them names, sometimes a role. So, you know, one personality might be the chief executive. One personality might be the doctor, although they may have names. So the most challenging case I ever had was my very first case. And this individual had a jinn possession, demonic possession. She had a reptilian that was coming to her for sex. She had 6 alternate personalities and she had a suicide program. And it took me about 4.5 months to clear all that out. So I'm not going to go into any more detail because that's not fair. But basically, it is horrendous what is done to humanity. And the final point is, when did this all kick off? The Babylonian time. And I'm afraid to say that this root technology goes to Atlantis. I know lots of people think that Atlantis was sweetness and light. And in many ways, it was the cutting edge of technology. But there were some dark practitioners of some very nasty stuff. And some of that went to the Mayan and the Aztecs, became the cult of the sacrifice. The other group, that's at a later date, of course, but the other group went the other way, Sumeria, Babylon. And then, of course, Adolf Hitler, through Dr. Mengele, really brought it to the modern age. And then when, shame on them, absolute shame on them, when those members of the American elite suddenly saw what Adolf Hitler's department was doing, they said, well, we can't let anybody else have this. This is really useful. We want it. But we don't have anybody in the United States who can do this. So we better get these people over to us. I'm not talking about German scientists. You know, I understand that. You know, if you're top of your game in missile manufacture, yes, of course they'll want you. I understand that. What I don't like is people who murder children and did stuff on the mind. And then for the American government at the time to say, oh, that's really good. That's fantastic. We can do all this. We can do all that. Would you like to come and be an American citizen? We'll change your name. So what was Mengele called? Dr. Green, Dr. White, Dr. Black. I think he particularly liked Dr. Black. So they gave, at least to my knowledge, 3 different names. And he had American citizenship. He was a mass murderer. He murdered and tortured children. But because it gave the United States a technological advance in hypnosis and mind control, they went for it. That's what's wrong on this planet. And until we can cleanse that, we've got a battle on our hands. It's a good question. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. So, now, fabulous. I mean, it's a dark subject, but it's something we all have to understand that it's like it underlies a lot of the distress that people are in, this whole mind control thing. So, right, okay, ooh, yes. Another favorite question, like, because we're all trying to figure out who is who is who. Right, so this is from A.Z. Question topic, Elohim, Nephilim, Anunnaki. Hi, Simon. Many thanks. Can you explain if the Elohim were hybrids between humans and Draco, 57%, 50%, 75%, and were Nephilim also hybrids, 50, you know, Anunnaki are 50-50? Are they genetically related to Elohim and Nephilim? So that's that, you know, so basically what, you know, of the 3, Elohim, Nephilim and Anunnaki, how much of each is what? Does that make sense? What's the recipe today, Jim?
Yeah. I'm not criticizing at all, but it's the hierarchy. It's, I need to know this. I need to know the percentages, but it's a fair question and I'll answer it. Because there's a lot of confusion out there, really is. And I understand this is thousands of years old. And the Bible does actually mention these races. And so there's enough evidence out there. Right. Anunnaki are relatively recent on this planet. They're relatively recent. You had two reptilian races which were vying for control of this planet. One is the Orion Empire, and the other is the Cyrus or Sirius Federation. That is why in the Great Pyramid at Giza, what Egyptologists call the air vents, actually line up with Orion. So that gives you an idea of which, at that time, which of the groupings was in charge. So you have a predominant reptilian group, which is have intermarried, just as in Great Britain, you would have somebody marry a king or a queen from another country, because you are cementing a pact between yourselves. So you know, most of the blood in the British royal family is German. So what you have is a situation where Anunnaki were 75% human, 25% reptilian physically. You couldn't do 50-50 because they would look so reptilian that nobody in the immediate vicinity of the royal court would actually be able to go near them. What you had to do, if you were a geneticist, is you had to create a physical body that was human enough so that you could talk to your subjects, but alien enough so that you never felt you took the side of the people, but you were always ostracized from the people, so therefore you only had one place to go, which was your reptilian forefathers. It's very clever. It's a very similar way to what they do even today on the planet. So we've got some 75-25 split with the Anunnaki. Now, when they first started, I do believe it was a 50-50 split. And what they were looking at, I'm not going to say hideous, because one reptilian is probably quite attractive to another. But from a human perspective, it would be hideous. Remember that reptilians look on mammals as hideous. So I'm just always balancing the argument. But from a human point of view, a 50-50 split physical body would just be too much. Most people couldn't hold their space with something like that. They just couldn't. Look at the aversion that most people have to a snake. And you imagine something that's 6'3", 6'4", it just wouldn't work. Right, now the other ones are interesting. We have Elohim, and what was the other one you mentioned?
Elohim, Nephilim, and Anunnaki.
Well, one Nephilim are related to the giants, and they have DNA that made them quite tall. And there is truth in this. And what we've got left, I think, is stories of sleeping giants, stone giants. And you have to understand, I think, that the gravity on the Earth has changed. Gravity wasn't always this strong. And I gave an example several months back that in the end of the Cretaceous period, just before part of Marduk, Maldek, crashed into Earth and destroyed the dinosaurs. We had some pretty big beasts. You know, we all perhaps are familiar with Brontosaurus, Diplodocus or Diplodocus. And you think, well, hang on a minute, the biggest animal on the planet today is an elephant. So how in goodness knows name did something as big as a Brontosaurus manage to move about? In fact, in the 1950s, and I made a collection of these books because I love them, scientists were so confused that they assumed that these big dinosaurs lived underwater. I've got some wonderful artwork from the 1950s showing sort of an 80-foot dinosaur weighing maybe 20 tons, happily walking on the seabed with its little nostrils up breathing. Total impossible, and it just shows how stupid everything is, because had they bothered to ask an engineer, as it indeed happened 30, 40 years later, an engineer says, hang on, the water pressure would completely crush the ribcage of the dinosaur. But they couldn't understand how these creatures could have survived, and the reality was that gravity was one-third the strength it is now. That's why these creatures could grow that big, because gravity was one-third its strength today. So Nephilim were bigger, because gravity, whilst not one third, it was sizably reduced. So mammalian or reptilian type creatures could actually grow bigger. In terms of genetic material, very little reptilian, actually. Both the Elohim and the Nephilim had far less reptilian than the Anunnaki. Elohim were some of the purest humans who had become somewhat corrupted. And again, not a huge amount of reptilian in them. So skin as white as chalk. Don't get confused with Nordic races. Much paler, like literally take some flour, really, and stick it on. Eyes were either blue or brown. Hair was not always long and white. It could have been dark. Dressed in robes. The bodies were not muscular, unlike Nordics. There was, if you look at the leg, there wasn't an easily defined thigh or calf. It was more feminine. That doesn't make sense because women can have very defined calves. What I mean is it wasn't muscular male. It wasn't hard muscle. It was a much more softer, gentle form because many of these creatures, you couldn't tell whether they were male or female. They did have sex, a male or a female, but generally when you look at them, at the Eolin, it was very hard to tell what was what. So we have a whole range of races who have been here and have either been genetically altered or are there in their own right. So it's a really good question. We could do a whole show on it, but thank you very much. Thank you for your question.
Indeed, indeed. So we're coming to the end of the show, Simon, but...
That's gone quick.
For me, the highlight of the show was the revelation about gravity. Do you want to just recap that role? Because that went by really quickly, and I heard it, and I was like, hang on a second, that's the whole thing. That's what it's all about. You know, gravity is the result of...
So Isaac Newton, we're told, so Isaac Newton discovered gravity. No, he didn't. He rediscovered gravity. Just like the Vikings didn't discover America, they rediscovered America. So we are told that Sir Isaac Newton was sitting under an apple tree, and an apple fell, and he thought, what made that apple fall on the ground? Fine. And so in his very early stages of scientific knowledge, he assumed that the Earth was spinning, which it was, and is, and it produced a centrifugal force. Remember that even to this day, scientists will only believe what they can replicate in a laboratory. And if they don't have the technology or the machinery or the understanding of it, and they physically can't replicate it, they don't believe it. Now, it wasn't Einstein, it was probably his wife. But basically, there are people who said, I can't replicate this because I don't have the raw materials on this planet, I don't have the software to do this, but I can demonstrate it in a math formula, in a mathematic formula. And they're able to demonstrate something that you can't see and you can't touch. And it took science ages to begin to understand that actually, it's probably got a lot of truth behind it. So we moved away from, if I can't see it, I can't touch it, I don't believe in it, unless it's God, to, okay, well, the math works out, so maybe it's true. So we went through a system where we thought that gravity was literally the spinning of the Earth. It's not. It is light waves. Remember, light waves are just different spectrums of energy. Some of it we can see. We can only see a tiny fraction that's visible to the mammalian eye. A huge range. Think about gamma rays. I mean, people don't understand generally that gamma rays are light. Infrared, we understand. X-rays are light, but we don't think about that. But these are all rays that emanate that our eyes aren't designed to pick them up because our eyes are designed to operate in daytime so that we can see objects. Seeing gamma rays and X-rays doesn't actually help us, therefore we weren't designed to do that. So when energy waves strike the atmosphere has particles in it. Those particles excite. And when they excite, they create energy. Those rays, it strikes an object, when it's the moon, the earth reflects back, and that creates light. So when you look at a picture of a supposed, and that was one of the questions I didn't answer about the fake moon landings. you know, you see these pictures of stars. Now, you can, if you have a telescope in space, you can see stars emanating light, even though there's no light, there's no atmosphere in space, because the telescope will have an atmosphere in it. All right? If people think that there's a vacuum in a telescope, they're wrong. There is an atmosphere in a telescope. In thinking in a space shuttle, in a craft, whether they've got their helmets on or not, there is a pressurized container. So if you start taking pictures from your spacecraft out, you will see light because you're in an atmosphere. But if we start to explore this, then we begin to understand that most of the pillars that the establishment of the scientific world have built their edifice on are ready to come tumbling down. And until human ego is prepared to push it aside and say, look, I'd just rather tell you the truth. You know, I don't care. I may lose my pension. I may not get the speaking tour. But, you know, I really think you guys need to know the truth. Though that's not what's happening, is it? People are saying, can't lose my pension. I get all these lovely invites to very wealthy places, faculties. I do the talking. I'll write another scientific paper. I might get the Nobel Peace Prize. There's nothing for them in the system to make them tell the truth. Tony Blair, let me just quickly for 2 minutes. Tony Blair was Prime Minister of Great Britain. He had a salary of £150,000. Donald Trump takes a salary of $1, but he's entitled to $400,000. That's the president's salary. Tony Blair left being a prime minister and became a diplomat for the European Union. And then when he'd done that, he went and worked for people like JP Morgan, Morgan Chase, and his salary went from £150,000 a year to £1 million a year. So when you understand how people are controlled, then no wonder the truth doesn't come out. Because the truth does set us free, but it only sets people free who want to be free. You know, it's incredible to us to think there are a number of people who are quite happy not being free because the system is rewarding them, that and they'd rather live a lie. Well, you know what? Every listener to this station and all the people who are going to wake up would rather have the truth than have the lies. So listen, JP, it's lovely. I'm amazed I got through the 2 hours. I was determined to do it. A number of people said to me, please do the 2 hours. We know you're not well. Please do the 2 hours. And I thought, I'm going to do it. I'm determined to do it. And I did. So God bless to everybody. Thank you.
Simon, you did brilliantly. And thank you very much. And also, you know, probably you're being held in the light of more than 600 listeners are holding you in the best of light and so just take a moment at the end to just kind of soak it up because it's there for you. There's some lots of love energy for you.
Love is what we need and what keeps us going. And, you know, if we didn't have the support, then I don't know whether I would ever say, look, it's pointless. I give up. I don't think I'm designed like that, but I certainly would be disheartened. And the fact that we've got people who really care and believe is wonderful. And people who've sent me healing and love, thank you. I want it because I need the energy. And it's one way that you can help. Donations is another way. So whatever it is you do, you know, God bless to you. And JP, God bless to you because, you know, we all support each other. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Simon. Good night, everybody. Stay tuned and call in for the next roundtable. Good night, everybody.